In the 1960s, there is a young Presbyterian pastor named Dr. D. James Kennedy. You might have heard about him. He was the pastor of what was known to that church at that time called Coral Ridge. In the 80s, he was one of those men you'd call America's pastors. He had a thriving television ministry and a very thriving church. But that's not what he was originally known for. Dr. D. James Kennedy, one of his most well-known books was called Evangelism Explosion. And it really became the base text for most Christian denominations, including ours, on how to talk to someone about your faith. Right? In our church body years ago, we had our own way. God's Great Exchange is what we would call it. But some of the parts of God's Great Exchange are things that we took from this very well-known book. And what he did isn't rocket science, but he had two questions that you're supposed to ask. And those two questions help you gauge where a person is in their connection to God. And his first question was, what will happen to you when you die? And the second question he said, right, if you go up to heaven and God asks you, why should I let you in, how would you respond? Now, we often don't use those questions anymore as the first question you ask someone when you first meet them. In 2025, it's a little aggressive. It's not as commonplace today. At the same time, I do understand how important those questions are, and especially, right, when you're talking about a weekend like this, when we're giving thanks to God for our loved ones who are in heaven with Jesus, especially those connected to Emmanuel, you start to think about that. And I really believe that anytime someone comes through our doors, especially at a funeral, a celebration of life service, they're remembering the person that they came for, but they're also, right, they're also thinking about their own mortality. And those questions come to mind. And so the Apostle Paul this morning, he wants us to kind of understand how God's promises work, especially make that connection. And listen to how he writes, and we're going to focus on just some really important concepts that the Bible speaks when it comes to God's promises and the connection to you. When the Apostle Paul writes, he very often thanks God for things, and he often thanks God for people and for their faith. But notice this time what he thanked God for. He thanked God that he chose you. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that God chose you to come to faith. God chose you before the creation of the world is how the Bible speaks about it. So before God formed the earth, before God made man and woman in his own image, he knew you by name. He made sure that all of history was arranged in such a way that you come to know and believe and trust in Jesus. And that truth is not just for you, that truth is also for your loved ones in heaven, that God knew them. In Lutheran circles, we call that the teaching of election. That before the creation of time, and before in eternity, God knew us, God chose us to be his own. Now, I often don't preach on election because it's a little tougher concept. Because when you hear that truth, right, you start to ask a couple questions usually. Question one is, if God chose me before creation, either what about the other people that don't believe in Jesus? Does that mean God didn't choose them? Or for others, it's like, the question is like, why did God choose me? What about me that makes it different that God chose me? But when the Bible speaks about this important truth, it always speaks to the believer. This important truth of election is not made for you to start to question whether or not I am elected, or it's not, God never intended to have you question why someone else not chosen. It always is meant to the believer for you to understand that you are chosen. And you know that because here's how Paul speaks. Notice how God talks about it. He says that's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So when we read God's promises, the Bible calls it the sanctifying work. That word sanctify, it's from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. Essentially, what we are saying, what God is saying, is that the words in God's promises are not just words on a page. That God connects his Holy Spirit to that words and gives them the power to do what God says they're going to do. See, God's choice was made in connection with the sanctifying the work of the Spirit, and he connects that Spirit's work to, through the gospel. Do you start to see? When we use that phrase, gospel, and we talk about Jesus, all right, when I ask the children, right, questions about who loves you and Jesus loves me, right, the Spirit works through that those words to connect you to what Christ has done for you. And then that's why you share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in church, right, we talk about this and we connect it with visual symbols. Like I told the kids before, when we first bought this candle, right, if you know anything about the Paschal candle, the church brings a new one in every Easter. And so last Easter we bought a candle in, and Wendy and I, when we put this candle up, we looked at it, I'm like, that thing is huge. We bought a bigger one this year, and I thought, man, it's a little bit too big. I couldn't reach the top of it. We had to use the special candle lighter to go up there. Every once in a while, I would stand on this, trying to get a light to see if it's even lit, because it was so... But now look at it. Now I can put my hand over the top. I can almost, on my tippy toes, right, light it. And this candle burns every time we have a baptism. And so as this candle goes down, at least a foot since Easter, it tells you we've had 40-plus baptisms. But then we also move this candle to the center. And on Wednesday night, it'll be in the center again when we celebrate the life of Donna Cartwright, because we burn this candle, too, at the celebration of life service. And so that candle being as far burnt as it is makes you realize that Emmanuel is here, 18 people connected to us have went to see Jesus. And so when we light that candle, what we are saying is that the sanctifying work of the Spirit began at someone's baptism and kept them in the faith through the gospel all the way to their life when they then, right, entered into eternal glory with Jesus. Right, that's the promise that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here. And it's important because even Paul says it. He said, you need to stand firm and hold fast. Right, when you use those words, what he's saying is that picture that you have to kind of plant your feet like you're into some strong headwind because something's going to blow you over. Or you have to hold tightly, grip onto it because someone's going to try to be ripped out of your hands. And what you start to understand is when you start to talk about end of life, your mortality, when you start to talk about people that are now in heaven, when you start talking about, right, medical diagnoses that are never good, plans that were made that now are just all kind of blown up because all of these things in life that you didn't happen did happen, those are the things that are going to start to kind of push you down. Right? And what does it do? It causes people to doubt. It causes people to get angry. It causes people to question. Anytime we talk about the death of a loved one too, right, the emotions come back and there's loneliness there because there's an emptiness that is hard to fill. And so notice what he says. You need to stand firm because that's going to happen every time you go through things like this. And what do you stand firm in? You stand firm in the teachings that we have passed on to you. Did you catch them in the beginning of the service? We put some of the teachings that were passed down to us by God through his prophets and apostles in the opening dialogue. Right? We had Jesus' words in there. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they died. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And if you know where these words come from, it was Jesus speaking at the death of his friend Lazarus. And then the question he asked was, do you believe this? And more than a few times this year, I read this verse while one of Emmanuel's members was going to see Jesus pretty quickly, and I asked, do you believe this? Because that question and that answer is so important, right? And there's another promise. Brothers and sisters, right? Do not be uninformed about those who sleep in death, such that you grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Right? Sometimes in the life of a Christian, when you encounter the death of a loved one, right, you have these tears and you weep, and sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't cry. Well, it's not even close to being accurate or true. When you look at the life of Christ, you see a man full of emotion. But notice how the Bible speaks. You don't grieve without hope. There's a difference between being sad and crying with hope and grieving like no hope, like, Lord, what is going on? I don't understand. What does Job say? I know that my Redeemer lives, that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Another grave has been marked out in our cemetery, and they'll open it up here this week. And when I walk out there and I look at the graves and I look at the holes that are dug, this scripture comes to mind, because think about that. Job in the Old Testament actually says that cemetery, when remains are put in there, one day when Jesus comes again, we're going to see Jesus with our own eyes, in our own flesh, just like this, right? That is the resurrection of the dead, body and soul being reunited, right? That's the promise that God connects to all of these things. And then what does Paul say? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. Paul connects life to this race, right? That it's a struggle. It can be long. It's ups and downs. But you start to see something about the promises of God and the life of a Christian, and the power that the promises of God have in the life of a Christian. But I think this is the issue that all of us have. We get in these valleys, right? There are times where we have times, the sadness just kind of hits us there. There are times of loneliness. There are times when we question God's providence and his plan for our life when it's not how we think it should go, or it's not how God says his promises work in life. Right? Presence and connection and doing what's good for us, and maybe it doesn't look like it's that good. And we just stay down there. And here's the problem. Like, we stay in these valleys and we don't connect them to the promises of God. You see, God's promises are more than just slogans. They're more just niceties or, hey, cheer up, here's what God says. They are the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and they are powerful. And they don't take your problems away, but they keep you connected to him. It was a Thursday evening when one of Emmanuel's members was going to see Jesus very soon. He had a terminal illness, but it went a lot faster than we thought. And I was by his bed, and his illness caused him to be pretty weak, and he was unable to speak. And so we were communicating. He'd write on a whiteboard to me. And as we were talking about kind of the next steps, next couple days, he wrote, I'm ready to see Jesus, just not yet. And I get what he meant, because that's the reality, right? I'm ready to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus, just not yet. And that's real emotion connected to real promise. That we have so many blessings on this side of heaven, that we have people that are part of our lives, that we have just important and purpose right now. And the people and the purpose in life is connected to God, and God has given us that. And so to think that, oh, I just can't wait to see Jesus, I just want to leave this, I really do, but maybe just not yet. Right? That's how we have to constantly act, connecting life with God's promises. Because in the brokenness of this world and the topsy-turviness of this world, the only thing that helps us make sense of it all, right, the only thing that we can hold on to so we aren't ripped away, the only thing that we can kind of stand firm in is the one thing that is always consistent and true, and that's the power and the promises of God in Christ. Because that's how Paul speaks. That's called eternal encouragement. That's called good hope, right? Not just, hey, you're okay, but something that is very special and never leaves you. And that's then what encourages hearts, and that's what strengthens you. Connect the promises to your life, right? You know how easy it is? I can ask children, all those little Bible passages, all those story connections, they know. And you know the same thing. Most of you have been taught it in that way. Most of you had to memorize things in your early days, and you'd be surprised if you just look at it again, if you just kind of read it once more, all of a sudden, man, it just comes right back to your mind so fast. That's the purpose in all of that, is to help you connect life to promises. And then when you do that, then that most important question is answered in a very real and right way. What will happen to me when I die? What am I going to say to God in order for him to let me in? You can be confident that, right? I'm in heaven when I die, and God lets me in, I just say, because of Jesus. That's what God's promises have done for your loved ones, and that's why they're with Jesus right now. And that's what God's promises do for you every single day. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.